Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The fiery explosion at the Hoover Dam. Images of the flames and smoke. This potentially life-threatening heat across the U.S. And the fires all around London tonight. The pictures coming in now. This deadly heat in Europe. First, here in the U.S., temperatures in the triple digits shattering records. More than 100 million Americans under heat alerts from Texas all the way up to the Northeast, New York to Massachusetts. Tonight, we witnessed the first responders answering the calls for help already. And how long will this last? Ginger Z standing by to time this out. While in the UK tonight, the hottest temperature ever recorded in London, more than 104 degrees. Tonight, those fires burning in and around London and the wildfires across Europe, many out of control. The heat-related death toll tonight surpassing 1,500 people who have died already. Will Reeves standing by in London. Here in the U.S., that explosion and fire at the Hoover Dam, the images showing the flames and black plume of smoke, startling tourists. The immediate questions, of course, was anyone hurt? What could this mean for power and water? Matt Gupman with late reporting what authorities are saying tonight. The prime time hearing before the American people this week, and tonight the two former Trump aides who will now be testifying. John Carl on who they are and why their testimony could be key. The anger and frustration boiling over in Uvalde, Texas. We take you inside that school board meeting. After that blistering report, 376 officers on the scene, 77 minutes that went by. And tonight you will hear the little girl and what she told the board. Maria Villarreal from Uvalde again tonight. Ukraine's first lady arriving at the White House set to address lawmakers here in the U.S. and tonight U.S. intelligence and what it shows Putin is now planning in eastern Ukraine. Ian Pannell from Ukraine again tonight. Here in the New York area, the shark sightings tonight, the beaches now closed. And America's strong tonight, the big lotto drawing set for this evening. But even before the winning numbers, a simple question. Could you do what two best friends did? Their promise.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. And we begin tonight with the dangerous record-setting heat here in the U.S. and across Europe. The fires burning in and around London tonight. And then word today of the explosion here in this country at Hoover Dam. No immediate concern over power, but the images were concerning, especially for the tourists who witnessed it all. Tonight, 124 million Americans are under heat alerts across this country. The intense heat moving into the Northeast as well. Even hotter tomorrow in Philadelphia, New York, and Boston, all issuing heat advisories tonight. And the wildfires breaking out in the U.S., the images from across North Texas tonight, the Chalk Mountain Fire in Somerville County, that's near Fort Worth, homes and hundreds of acres burned in Palo Pinto County, crews battling the flames from the sky and from the ground, Dallas EMT crews responding to three times the number of heat-related calls and emergencies today. In Houston tonight, temperatures in the triple digits now expected in the forecast for the next 10 days, and the Texas power grid is already at near maximum capacity. And that explosion at Hoover Dam, a key part of America's infrastructure, raising immediate concerns about water and electricity. Authorities say so far not affected, but the images were startling, as I mentioned, and there remain questions tonight. And then overseas this evening, shattering heat records in London. In fact, there are fires burning right now around London. More than 1,000 people have died in the heat in Europe already. Of course, we have it all covered again tonight. How long the heat lasts here in the U.S., what they're now most concerned about here. And Ginger Z with the numbers tonight, what we've seen here in the U.S., summer temperatures and the dramatic shift in just 50 years. But we begin tonight with ABC's Trevor Ault in Dallas.
Tonight, 124 million Americans under heat alerts from the Midwest to the Northeast. First responders like MedStar in North Texas fielding urgent calls for help. We were there as they gave aid to this man asleep in his car under the hot sun.
Stick up your tongue for me.
His name is Daniel.
Pretty hot.
Paramedics gave Daniel water, and when he declined to go to the hospital, they encouraged him to find shade. So far this summer, MedStar has responded to twice as many heat-related calls as they did this time last year.
Our average age of a patient right now is 45 years old, and most of them think, oh, I'm young, I'm healthy, I can handle it. Not this kind of heat.
Forecasters are now sounding the alarm across the region.
You're looking at a lot of actual air temperatures around 112, 114.
It's not just our daytime highs. Even our overnight lows tonight are going to struggle to really cool down.
Multiple cities with overnight lows in the mid-80s. That cumulative heat, even more dangerous, already fueling multiple wildfires in Texas, and now it's moving east. Our Mola Lange is in New York City.
Well, power crews are already hard at work here in New York City, but the utility company says the real test will be later this week when temperatures rise and the power grid has to endure several consecutive days of extreme heat.
This after more than 4 inches of rain in parts of the metro area Monday, a sinkhole in the Bronx swallowing this van.
And David, the power grid here in Texas is continuing to hold up to this intense demand, but with extreme triple-digit heat in the forecast for the foreseeable future, there's still a very real possibility that rolling blackouts could be coming. David?
Bracing for that potential. Trevor, thank you. All of this as the historic and deadly heat wave continues in Europe as well. In fact, there are fires in and around London burning tonight. And the record high temperature set in London today, some climate scientists didn't expect it until 2050. Tonight, hear the terrifying images of those flames and millions in the UK suffering with just about 1% of homes with any kind of air conditioning. ABC's Will Reeve in London again tonight.
Tonight, striking images of fires burning in and around London on the hottest day ever recorded there.
These people battling flames in backyards, desperately trying to save these houses.
Firefighters battling at least 10 blazes across the city for much of the day. The temperature rising past 40 degrees Celsius at Heathrow Airport today, 104.4 degrees Fahrenheit. With air conditioning a rare luxury in Europe and homes in the UK actually designed to retain heat, there's little relief. Transportation stifled by the heat as well, with delays and suspended service on many underground lines. Across Europe, more than 1,500 heat deaths. Thousands of firefighters battling wildfires that have forced nearly 40,000 from their homes.
These people trying to escape the flames, packing whatever they can into the back of their cars.
As the UK deals with its hottest day ever, government scientists here are warning that heat events like this could happen every 3 years.
British forecasters predicting more extreme heat more often, a hot new normal, and say the culprit is clearly climate change.
If we stop the buildup of greenhouse gases, all we would do would be stop further warming. We can't really reverse it. So we do have to live with the change we've already put in place.
The UK is expected to start cooling off tomorrow, and in fact, that's already begun. A fresh rain here in London tonight, bringing temperatures down. But elsewhere in Europe, some countries may see 90 to 100 degree heat through this week and into the next, David.
So much needed relief just as the evening continues there. Will Reeve, thank you. And of course, we continue to track the heat across Europe and of course here at home. Let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee. And Ginger, we know this heat now spreads across so much of this nation, from Texas all the way up into the Northeast, where it's expected to last for days.
There are heat advisories, David, from Bakersfield to Boston. And yes, Oklahoma City tied their all-time July record. And so we are going to talk about the maps here, because there are heat advisories in that nucleus of the heat, with the excessive heat warnings that stretches now to Memphis and western Tennessee, western Mississippi as well. The heat index tomorrow going to be scorcher again. 112 Little Rock, Jackson 107, 104 all the way up to Indianapolis. This bubble is going to keep moving northeast, and so is that warm overnight low, which Oklahoma City could break an all-time hottest overnight low tonight. They'd have to go above 84, and it looks like they'll stay there. Look at that. That cumulative heat that Trevor was mentioning is so incredible, and now we're going to get a taste of it. Our second official heat wave in New York City has already started of the summer, and Boston will get there first, staying in the 90s.
And Ginger, while we have you, I know you and the team have been studying these summer high temperatures going back for a century in our country. I was going to ask if you could just show us just the last 50 years, what the record books show as far as summer highs recorded here in the U.S. and what you've seen, a clear trend.
Sure, David, I'll take you straight to the data. So you're looking first at the map that says 1961 to 1990. These are 30-year averages compared to the 20th century. So you see some blue on the map. Over the 50 years of this time lapse, as we take the 30-year averages up, you see a rapid rise in temperature across the entire nation. There are very few cooler spots than average at all. And what this means, and I know you're looking at me now and saying, okay, so you showed us 50 years. Our Earth is way older than this, and we've been way hotter than this. And that's true. However, those came with other signals and indicators, like Earth's orbit or proximity to the sun. What we have right now, scientists say, the attribution to this rapid rise in temperatures, greenhouse gas emissions. It's us, David.
Which is why it's really important we report on it, both here in the U.S. and across the globe, and what we're seeing in Europe as well. Ginger, thanks to you again tonight, our coverage of the heat for tonight. We're going to move on to the other news this evening. And as this country deals with this oppressive heat, those images that came in today, word of that explosion at Hoover Dam, one of America's most important hydroelectric plants, providing water and electricity to much of the Southwest, of course. Well, tourists were terrified by the images, and then the immediate questions: could this affect power with the grids strained already? Authorities say no concern yet, but there are questions. What did happen? Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Guppin, now.
My goodness, something's just blown out.
Tonight, that explosion at Hoover Dam, startling visitors at the historic landmark during the peak of tourist season.
It's shaking so much.
The dam, situated on the Colorado River, a key piece of infrastructure in the Southwest, providing water and electricity to parts of California, Nevada, and Arizona. And as that fireball went up, tour guides hustling visitors away from the scene.
Well, folks, get your video on that. There's just been an incident here.
My goodness, something's just blown out.
Explosion and a fire. We're going to be leaving now, so we don't get trapped in here.
The guide said us that there is fire and they are solving this situation.
Officials at the dam saying a mechanical problem caused a transformer to catch fire on the Arizona side of the more than 700-foot tall dam. There are no injuries reported. A fire brigade helping extinguish the flames, as did that internal sprinkler system.
David, officials at the site say the cause of the fire remains under investigation, but they can assure us that the dam's ability to generate power and to pump water have been unaffected and that nobody was hurt. David.
All right, Matt Guppin with us tonight. Thank you, Matt. Next tonight, the primetime hearing set for Thursday night before the American people and, of course, right here on ABC. And tonight here, the former Trump aides, two of them who will be testifying Thursday night. John Carl on who they are and why their testimony could be key. And tonight, the Secret Service now responding to the January 6th committee on those missing text messages from January 5th and 6th. Here's John Carl.
The Secret Service responded to a subpoena today from the January 6th committee for its communications immediately before and during the attack on the Capitol. But the committee did not get what it asked for.
We did not receive the additional text messages that we were looking for.
The Secret Service said it was not able to recover text messages from January 5th and 6th, 2021, that were deleted as part of what it described as a, quote, pre-planned three-month system migration. They said it was up to individual agents to preserve their text messages, and some agents did not do so. This comes as the committee prepares for a primetime hearing Thursday, delving into the 187 minutes that the Capitol was under attack by Trump supporters and President Trump did nothing to stop them.
Let's go!
Two former White House staffers will testify in person, former Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Matthews and former Deputy National Security Advisor Matthew Pottinger. Both resigned that day. The committee has already played testimony from both of them describing their reaction when President Trump tweeted during the attack that Vice President Pence, quote, didn't have the courage to do what should have been done.
We all got a notification, so we knew it was a tweet from the president.
It felt like he was pouring gasoline on the fire by tweeting that.
I read that tweet made a decision at that moment to resign.
David, the National Archives today wrote the Secret Service demanding to know why those text messages were deleted. It is simply obvious that they should have been preserved, especially given the historic significance of January 6th. David.
John Carl with us again tonight. Jonathan, thank you. And of course, John will be right here with me and the entire political team live on the Hill. Expected detail, the committee on Thursday night, the 187 minutes in the White House, what the former president did and did not do. ABC News live coverage, 8 p.m. Eastern again Thursday night, right here on ABC. In the meantime, we continue with the news here and to Texas, where the anger and frustration boiled over, and understandably, in that school board meeting in Uvalde, right after that blistering report was issued. 376 officers on the scene and 77 minutes that still went by. Tonight here, you'll hear from family members addressing that board, including the little girl and what she told them. ABC's Maria Villarreal in Uvalde again tonight.
Hundreds packing Uvalde's high school auditorium, holding signs saying, "We want accountability."
Maybe one of you guys will come and say, "We failed you, Uvalde."
Confusion and frustration now turning into absolute fury. After a newly released investigative report and body camera footage reveals Robb Elementary did not adequately prepare for the risk of an armed intruder on campus.
We had people telling y'all that the doors didn't lock and y'all didn't do a damn thing about it. Why?
That the expectation is those doors to be locked.
The 77-page investigative report asserting Robb Elementary had a culture of noncompliance with safety policies about door locks, which turned out to be fatal. Jasmine Gossettis lost her little sister Jackie in the shooting.
What are you going to do to make sure I don't have to wait 77 minutes bleeding out on my classroom floor just like my little sister did?
The superintendent promising last night they would focus on safety, saying they plan to install higher fences around schools and new cameras inside, replacing doors and locks, beefing up Wi-Fi capabilities, and they're delaying the start of school to get it all done. Some calling for the district to implement a marshal program allowing staff to carry guns on campus.
It is evident that no one is coming for us, and we must protect our own.
Others demanding every officer on the school district police force be fired.
They need to be accountable, and they need to leave, and they need to turn in their badges, and they need to go now.
The committee also finding law enforcement officers failed to prioritize saving the lives of innocent victims over their own safety. Victims like friends of Maylee Taylor, who was at Robb Elementary the day of the shooting.
This was the last dress that all my friends saw me on. Most of those kids were my friends, and that's not good. And I don't want to go to your guys' school if they don't have protection.
Major fallout over this report and also the body camera footage recently released over the last few days. We have been able to confirm that local police, Texas DPS, and now Border Patrol all launching internal investigations into the actions of those nearly 400 officers and agents on the day of the shooting. David.
All right. Maria Villarreal again tonight. Maria, thank you. Now to the war in Ukraine. And here in the U.S., Ukraine's First Lady Olena Zelenska arrived at the White House today. Tomorrow, she's set to deliver remarks to members of Congress in Washington. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin traveling to Iran amid those U.S. warnings that Iran is set to help Putin in the war with Ukraine. Tonight, what U.S. intelligence now shows Putin is planning in eastern Ukraine next. Here's our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, now.
President Biden made an unannounced appearance on the White House South Lawn this afternoon to join his wife in welcoming Olena Zelenska, the First Lady of Ukraine. Zelenska is set to deliver remarks before U.S. lawmakers on Capitol Hill tomorrow. A White House spokesman today saying declassified intelligence shows Russia's preparing to annex what it already controls in Ukraine and more.
We're seeing ample evidence in the intelligence and in the public domain that Russia intends to try to annex additional Ukrainian territory.
It all comes as Vladimir Putin was in Iran, only his second overseas trip since the war began, meeting Iran's president and the Ayatollah, who called NATO a, quote, dangerous entity. The U.S. is warning that Tehran could provide armed drones to help Russia's war, replenishing its depleting arsenal, something Iran denies.
David, the Ukrainian military tonight claiming it stabilized the front lines in the east and southeast for now, saying an important factor has been those U.S. HIMAR rocket systems, but as we know, they want more. David.
Ian Pannell with us from inside Ukraine again tonight, Ian. Thank you. Back here to home tonight in the news just coming in from Washington, the House voting tonight to protect same-sex marriage in this country by a vote of 267 to 157 amid concerns after Roe was overturned by the Supreme Court. Tonight, 47 Republicans in the House crossing party lines to vote in favor of protecting same-sex marriage. The measure now moves to the Senate, where its fate is still unclear as of this evening. When we come back here tonight, the shark sightings here in the New York City area and the beaches that have been closed tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, hear more on that shark scare for swimmers at some New York City area beaches. Officials closing several beaches. Another shark was seen off Long Island on Monday, closing beaches there. One local official saying there have been more sharks spotted in the past 2 years than in the previous decade. This involves all the beaches in the Rockaways tonight. To the index of other news, and tonight, Netflix has revealed it lost nearly 1 million paid subscribers in the last quarter. In a letter to shareholders today, Netflix said it would try to add the same number in the quarter ahead, saying it is still looking at ways to somehow monetize password sharing among households to make money, but yet still let it continue. Finally tonight, here are the winners who are winners. Tonight, you get another chance. The Mega Millions now at 555 million, the fifth largest in history. The odds of winning, 1 in 302 million. And a simple question even before you win. Could you do what two best friends did? In Lexington, North Carolina, Scott Edwards and Perry Charles have been best friends for 35 years. They met working together at the Winn-Dixie. Well, years ago, they made a pact. If either ever wins the lotto, they'd split it 50-50. Well, guess what happened? Perry Charles there on the left, he won. Holding the big check was Scott, making good on his promise. Winning $361,000, split in half. His best friend saying, "I was lost for words." He's what you call a true friend, kind of like family. And in Louisville, Kentucky tonight, this mother, Crystal Dunn, winning $146,351. What was her first stop after picking up her check? Her local Meijer grocery store to buy gift cards. $2,000 worth of gift cards, and she started handing them out to shoppers right there in the store. And right here tonight.
Hi, David.
Crystal, on why she did it.
I just wanted to give others an unexpected gift, just as I received upon winning the lottery. You would be surprised what a simple act of kindness can do for another person.
Not surprised at all. The surprise at the store and the friends who kept the promise. Good night.